morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Robertson Avenue Baptist Church. This is the day the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. It is so good to see each and every one of you. And so I want to welcome you this morning. If you're visiting with us, please take the time to fill out the little visiting card you'll find in front of you. Place an offering plate that comes around so we can have a record of your visit. We greatly appreciate that. If you join us online this morning, we want to welcome you as well and ask you to consider being right here in the sanctuary with us, experiencing what God is doing at Robertson Avenue Baptist Church. Speaking of what's happening in RABC, let me share with you a little bit about our upcoming events. Today, of course, after services, we'll have our ministry team meeting at 4 p.m. If you're on that ministry team, you need to be there. 4:30, we'll have cantata practice right here in the sanctuary. So if you're on the cantata, you need to be here in the sanctuary at 4:30. Bring your choir book with you or your cantata book with you. Don't forget, at 6 p.m., we'll have our evening worship right here in the sanctuary. You don't want to miss that sermon. Don't forget that our ladies have postponed their Bible study until they have picked a new curriculum, so they're taking a little bit of a rest, a little bit of a break. There's going to be a prayer for them as they consider which curriculum they'll pick back up. Our men, however, will still be meeting Thursdays at 6:30. And don't forget, we'll have our Wednesday night Bible studies right here in the sanctuary at 6:30. So come and be a part of those things. All right, let me share with you a little bit more about what's happening. Number one, next Sunday, in the evening time, we'll be having our quarterly business meeting. So be prepared for that and be in prayer for that. There'll be a quarterly business meeting next Sunday evening. It's not a special call business meeting. It'll be a regular quarterly business meeting next Sunday evening for that. Don't forget, Saturday coming up, we'll have men's prayer breakfast at 7 a.m. Don't forget that we'll have an administrative team meeting at 10:30 in the office building that Saturday as well. Also Saturday, church, we'll be having Connor Willis' celebration of life right here in the sanctuary at 2:30 p.m. So please prayerfully consider being a part of what God is doing at Robertson Avenue Baptist Church. Be in prayer for our families that have lost loved ones here recently, the Titus family, and of course, the Willis family. So please be in prayer for them in that. Also, church, we are getting ready for a very, very busy resurrection week. You see by our slides. Please be ready for our upcoming Tenebrae services, our upcoming sunrise services right here Sunday morning. We need volunteers to help set up early in the morning, volunteers to help tear down after that service, volunteers to help cook breakfast, and of course, we'll have our regular Sunday services, but no evening services on Resurrection Day. So please consider being a part of that as well. Also, in the sanctuary, you'll find a little sign-up sheet. That sign-up sheet is for our upcoming eclipse, so we're going to need some security to work in our parking lot. So if you're interested in helping CB and Joe out with that, they would greatly appreciate that. So you can sign up for that if you're willing to take a shift to be a part of the security there inside of our Eclipse parking lot. So, all right. I think that's about all we need to bring to your announcement at this moment, unless there's something that I have forgotten. Oh, yeah, I think Sister BJ has something she'd like to share with you about Operation Christmas Child.
Thank you.
So some of you may know, last March I was actually preaching to the Ukrainian refugees in Poland, and I made a visit to First Baptist Church in Warsaw. As I walked through the Warsaw Church, and let me tell you, there were many, many neat things to see. There is something that caught my eye. You know what it was? Operation Christmas Child Shoebox sticker there saying, we do OCC in Poland as well. So you keep on doing what we do. That's such a worldwide, wonderful outreach. Keep praying for it. Keep being a part of it, and keep watching how God changes lives through something so simple as a shoebox. What an amazing ministry. Amen. Thank you for that, Sister Eugene. All right. With that being said, please pay attention to your youth group. Notice that they are yawning. Notice that they are tired. And they have crazy hair, that's right. And so they had a lock-in last night. So Darius came to me and he's like, I think I'm too old. I am tired. I am tired. I am not recovering from this. I was like, praise God, brother. Amen. So we understand that, and we are so grateful for what you've done with our youth group. Let's thank God for our youth group. Let's give Jesus a hand. Thank you, Jesus, for our youth group. And thank you for what you're doing there with them. All right. With that being said, I think that's it for our announcements, unless somebody has something that I may have forgotten about. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And after we pray, we please rise and welcome one another. Our Father, brought in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, how we thank you for this day. What a beautiful day it is, Lord. Such a great, great sunrise, Lord. And I just pray right now, Lord, you'd let the sun shine right here in this sanctuary, Lord. Let Jesus Christ shine in his fullness, shine in his strength, Lord God. Send down your spirit, Lord, that we might worship you today. Let today be the day, Lord, that hearts come back to know you, Lord. That souls return to you, and Father, that we that don't know you, save you today, and make you his personal Lord and Savior in life. Go with us now as we worship you. Be glorified, be magnified, and please, Lord God, let us rejoice in your house, which in Jesus' name we pray. Please rise and welcome one another. would, start making your way back to your seats. I do have one more announcement I need to share with you. Who's been asked if I know a lot of the details about Miss Utana's celebration of life? Let me reiterate that will be Saturday at 2:30, this Saturday coming up, 16th at 2:30. There will be a potluck to follow, and so we'll have a couple of main dishes provided by the church, but we are asking for those that would bring in side dishes to go with that. And that, those main dishes, so you can coordinate with that, one will be a pasta dish, one will be a lasagna dish, and I believe Jerry said the other will be a chicken dish. Is that right? Where did she go? Chicken pot pie. That would be it. So chicken pot pie, lasagna, and a pasta dish. So you can coordinate with those with a potluck. However, let me just tell you, honest, it's Texas, it's a potluck. We eat tamales with anything, amen? So fajitas go with anything or whatever. So you, potato salad, doesn't matter. So we're gonna help you eat it. So praise God and come and celebrate your time of life with us. All right, Brother Mark, come lead us in worship.
Thank you.
slower than it sounds. Amen. Very nice to see you all this morning. My, when those children leave, what a difference it makes, doesn't it? I don't think that's fair. Some of those kids that are leaving can touch the roof as they're leaving in the door frame. I can't do that. Woo, goodness gracious. Well, good morning. It's nice to see you today. One of you, we're going to change that subject real quick. Oh, goodness gracious. The title of this morning's message is The Disposition of a Lamb. We're going to start out in the Gospel of John. We're not going to stay there. We're going to end up in Philippians chapter 2. We're actually going to end up in Isaiah 53 as well. So if you'd like to, go ahead and turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 so you can have a head start in there. Philippians chapter 2. Don't know where Philippians is, just go Galatians, Ephesians,
tranquility.
Mm-hmm. After that, you'll find Colossians. So if you find Colossians, you've gone too far. Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. Looking this morning at the disposition of a lamb. I told you we're going to start out in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. Oh, heaven, thank you for this day. It is a beautiful day, and it's a wonderful day, Lord God. And I just pray that today be a day that not only would be beautiful, wonderful, it would be a day of rejoicing, Lord, for a sinner comes home. I pray, Father God, that the angels would rejoice. You tell us in your word, Lord, that the angels rejoice in heaven when one sinner repents. And I pray, Father, that today be the day that somebody comes home and comes to know your personal relationship. Or perhaps, Lord, there's one that needs to get their relationship with you right. The one, Father God, needs to be a part of that. Whatever the case may be, we want to ask you to be glorified, ask you to be magnified, ask you to go with us now as we look into your word. Speak to us as only you can. It's in Jesus' great mighty name. If you look with me at John chapter 1 and verse 36, you're going to find one of the most interesting statements in your Bible. Interesting because John, the Baptist, says it. Interesting because John is the last of the prophets, the last of the biblical prophets. He is, as Jesus acknowledges, one of the greatest born among women. He is an amazing man. You know anything about John the Baptist? He wore a camel's hair cloak. He ate locusts and wild honey. He comes out of the wilderness. He prepares the way of the Lord. He makes the pathway straight for the Lord. And let me be clear what that's talking about. He plows it for the Lord. He makes it straight. He makes it clear. He removes bumps and hills and pitfalls and traps and snares because he plows it with the simple message of repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That is his message. And that's what he plows with. That's the axe he cuts the trees down with. That's how he fills in the holes in the ground with the simple message of repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And as John begins preaching out in that wilderness, I love John the Baptist. The Bible tells us the Pharisees gather around him. The Herodians gather around him. The Zealots gather around him. I would dare to say the Sadducees may have sent out some people to look and see what he was all about, but they probably didn't go themselves because they had a belief that God could only work around the temple. They did go out there. It was just to mildly and humoristically look at him, see what he was all about. John, however, the son of Zacharias, a priest who is the son of Aaron, one who could bring about a priestly service himself, a recognized priest, starts preaching and baptizing in the Jordan River. And as he starts preaching and baptizing there, crowds are coming. It's amazing to me how when crowds start coming, the church starts noticing. You know, there's a lot we can learn from that. Before we even get into our sermon this morning, why is it that the church only starts noticing when big crowds start gathering? Have you ever noticed that? I'm going to be honest for just a minute. I'm going to be straight out forward. And you know what? I hate it when I say, let me be honest with you. It's an old phrase and I have a hard time breaking. But what I want to be is straightforward with you. Churches don't care until there's 100, 150 people there. Somebody say amen. That's all we want to talk about is crowd size. That's all we want to talk about is how many came down the aisle, how many filled out a card. Well, you know what? I don't care about any of those numbers. I care about who God touched. That's what we're looking for. That's what John was looking for. And incidentally, when the crowd started coming to John that particular day, the Pharisees could notice. His message was different. His message was essentially the same in a lot of ways, but it was different in a lot of ways. It had authority. It had power. His message was one that was simple. It wasn't be more holy because you're not holy enough. It was trust God. God's holy enough. That is the message. That's the gospel message. The message is you can't be good enough. Quit trying to be good enough. Let Jesus live through you. That is the gospel, yes. Then, however, that fateful morning, Jesus broke on the scene. The Bible tells us in John 1, verse 36, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Now, immediately the Pharisees get angry. Immediately the Sadducees get upset. The Herodians all get upset. The Zealots get upset. Why? according to the law of Moses, only a priest could acknowledge the sacrifice and accept it. Only a priest could look at a lamb and say, that's spotless. That's perfect. That is an acceptable sacrifice. But John points at Jesus, that faithful day. He says, behold, the Lamb of God, he's acknowledging that Jesus is the acceptable sacrifice of God. No wonder they're upset. But you know, there's a lot more into behold the Lamb of God, and I don't have time to go into it this morning. However, one of these days we will come back to that, because I think beholding the Lamb of God is something to look at. Pardon the pun this morning. Something for us to look at as we behold Jesus. How do you see him? How do you view him? And how do you look at him right now in your life? And so we need to remember to behold the Lamb of God. And so I put up a picture for you to take a look at this morning of John the Baptist. He's preaching that. Now, I want to put out a disclaimer for Robert Samuel so we don't get in trouble, but that's not an actual Polaroid. Somebody say amen. That is an artist's representation of what he or she thinks it might have looked like that day. Though we weren't really there. I know we're living longer nowadays. We've got pharmaceuticals and all kinds of medicine to help us live longer and longer and longer. But nobody who's alive today was alive when John the Baptist was a preacher. Nobody except for Jesus. Somebody say amen. So John got to hear one of those sermons. I mean, Jesus got to hear one of those sermons. However, contrary to what somebody may say today, no, we weren't alive then. So let's begin this morning with this thought. Jesus is the Lamb of God. That's what John said. He is the Lamb of God. Now, there's a hundred other things he could have called Jesus that morning. He could have said, behold, there's the Messiah. Behold, there's Beni Elohim, the Son of God. He could have said, look, that's our future King. That's our Deliverer. That's our Savior. That's the Anointed One. He could have said all kinds of things. He could have said the Christ. But he chose to say, behold, the Lamb of God. So that's what we need to focus on this morning. Jesus as the Lamb. Can I ask you in your Bible to turn with me to Philippians chapter 2? And I told you that's where we're going to get into the meat of our message this morning. We're going to get into some meat and some potatoes there as we take a look at the Apostle Paul telling us to act like Jesus. You know what? Wouldn't that be an amazing thought? Bear with me for just a second, but could you imagine growing up in Jesus' family? Y'all look at me real quick now. Could you imagine being Jesus' brother or his sisters and mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, saying, act more like Jesus? Could you imagine that? Hey, you need to start acting like your big brother. I want you to take a page out of his book. And you're thinking, I can't win for losing. He's perfect, I'm not. Man. Philippians chapter 2. Look at me in verse 5 here. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi. And I want to remind you that Paul is in prison at this time. He is suffering. He is chained to the wall. He is lacking food. He's lacking basic necessities, and he writes this letter to the church of Philippi, which says, guys, this is verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You need to start thinking like this. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now, I want to explain that for just a second. Because there's going to be somebody who says, what does verse 6 mean, Pastor? Let me tell you what it means. It means that Jesus Christ is God. He is 100% God. Not only is he 100% man, he's 100% God. He doesn't think it robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because he is God. But he made himself, verse 7, of no reputation. Made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant. You know what a bond servant is? When you look at me quick. Come in quick, yeah? Put this on your refrigerator, go a bond servant. It's different than a slave. You know, some of our Bible can't translate it slave, but I want to know bond servant is an excellent translation. What is bond servant? Bond servant is somebody who owes a debt. Who owes a debt. Jesus made himself like a bond servant. I owe something to God. Now, when you ever read the book of James, when James describes himself, this is the brother of Jesus, saying, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I owe Jesus something. Oh, yeah, we all do. We owe him our lives. Somebody say amen. That is what's happening here in Philippians chapter 2, where Jesus made himself like a bondservant. even though he's 100% God, he's equal to God. He doesn't even think it's robbery to be equal to God because he is God. Makes himself a bond servant. Coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as man, my Bible says he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The most excruciating, painful execution that could be put on him. He became humble. He became obedient. He became like a bondservant. Paul says, let that mind be in you. Let's continue with that thought, though. Look at me in verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. He has the name above every name. Let me stop for just a second because our Sunday school started out this way this morning. And if you are missing out on Sunday school, you're missing out on a blessing. Sunday school is the place to be. Somebody say amen. If you're saying, I want to learn about my Bible, get yourself in Sunday school. Get yourself in one of those classes. We have some amazing teachers here at Robertson Avenue, and I'm not just giving an advertisement for them. I'm bragging on them because I believe they are wonderful in what they do. They pray about what they do. They teach 100% from the Bible, and they're ready to give their knowledge to you. And so we started out this morning in our class about Islam. And one of the things we talked about Islam was the prophet Muhammad. But let me rephrase that, the false prophet Muhammad. We also talked about their false god, Allah. And we were reminded that there is one name above every name. It's above Muhammad. It's above Allah. And that's the name of Jesus. Amen? It's greater than anything the Islamic world could ever think of. It's greater than anything this world could ever think of. Jesus Christ, the only name given amongst men by which we must be saved. Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, verse 10, every knee should bow. Those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. Are you catching what Paul is saying here? The angels are going to bow, brothers and sisters. The angels are going to bow. Kings and queens and senators and congressmen are going to bow. Those that are under the earth in hell are going to bow. Verse 11, that every single tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. When you say Jesus is Lord, it glorifies God the Father. People ask me all the time, Pastor, how do I glorify God? Start confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. Woo! So let me ask you a question. If Jesus humbled himself and became a bondservant, even though he had every right to come as a king and rule over this world forcibly, vindictively, full of revenge. He had the right to do so because we've broken his law. We have broken his word. We have made him of no account. However, he came in the form of a servant. Where do you put yourself in that picture? You might say, well, I deserve respect. I deserve to be treated like a king. Well, here's a little picture of some feudal systems. Let's take a look at that. The king here, I'm going to tell you what the king usually did. Now, this is based on a European idea of this king kind of system here. The king provided money, an army, and bestowed land on his nobles. He also made law. And he also broke the law when it's convenient for the king. Somebody say amen. We've got presidents to do that nowadays. I'm sorry, I was supposed to say that. Lords! Lords! Lords were under kings, and lords were dukes sometimes, or something of that nature. They ruled over manors, and they had lands that they ruled over, and peoples that worked those lands, and they provided knights for protection. Knights, however, they also had their own castles in a lot of places, their own garrisons. They also had their own workers and servants. They're the ones that provided military service. They're the ones that raised the army protection. And then, of course, look at the very bottom, peasants and serfs. That's bond service. Bound to work the land on the mandate of the Lord. That's what Jesus humbled himself to. So when we take a look at the Apostle Paul telling us, Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want to share with you how we would literally translate that. In fact, this is Joshua's translation, and you can quote it if you want to. This is how I translated it. This keep minding. Your case, which was also in Jesus. He kept mine. In other words, Jesus never let it out of his mind, not for one second, not for one iota of a second, not for one centillion of a second. He never let this thought escape his mind. And because Jesus did that, we should do that. We should never stop thinking like this. This keep minding in your case, which also in Jesus, who kept minding. Now remember, we're talking about the Lamb of God. We're talking about thinking like that. So what did Jesus keep in mind? Well, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, came in the form of a slave, not just a slave, a bondservant. We also know that John said, he's the Lamb. He holds the Lamb of God. And I think if we spend a lot of time on slave, we can learn a lot. In fact, I think we need to reiterate that oftentimes in the church today. How many of you know that there's a truth that the church has forgotten? You know what that truth is? The last shall be first. Somebody say amen. We have forgotten that. We want to be the first in line in everything. The last shall be first. The first shall be last. We need to remember that Jesus came in the form of a servant. We need to remember that he took a towel, girded himself with it, and washed their feet. Any of us too busy washing our own selves off saying, I can't believe somebody got some dirt on me. We need to get back into that. We are washing his feet, loving his feet, kissing his feet, because he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And one of these days, every tongue will confess. You already know it. Every tongue is going to confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, we need to get back to the form of a slave sometimes. You know what else we need to remember? He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb. In fact, we're supposed to keep that mind in us. Paul said, never stop thinking about it. Never, ever let it slip your mind's eye for one second. You ask me all the time, I want to be more godly, Pastor. How do I be more Christ-like? Start becoming lamb-like. No, don't go around going, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't start wearing more wool that's here in Texas. You're going to regret it. You're going to regret it. But you do need to start becoming more lamb-like. In fact, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of mind do we need to keep? Well, I think it would be beneficial to say we need to have mindsets of being a servant. Jesus Christ came to serve. Did you know that? And because he came to serve, we should be serving. And let me tell you right now, there's a world outside that needs to see love in service. It needs to see love at work. It needs to see God's love reaching out. We need to become the arms of God, the heart of God, the legs of God, the mouth of God. We need to start being the love of God again. You know what else we need to be? Lamps. What mind do we need? We need the mind of the Lamb. The mind of Christ. He kept minding it. He read about it. Philippians chapter 2. He is the Lamb of God. Let this mind be in you. And so, as we spent time looking now, what a lamb was like. I grew up raising some lambs, and let me tell you, lambs are some interesting individuals. They are. Lambs are fun. They're sweet as they can be. They're also vindictive. They can be smart on occasion, but never once in my entire life did I ever realize that lamb's the scariest thing I've ever seen. Not once. Not once was I afraid to go out inside the pen and corral the lamb. Let's see what the Bible says about the Lamb of God. Look at in Isaiah 53. We're supposed to have this mind in us. We're supposed to have this disposition in us. In fact, we're supposed to be these kind of Christians. Isaiah 53, verse 7. This is the prophet Yeshayahu. He is prophesying before Jesus Christ is born what Jesus is going to be like. And Paul has told us, let this mind be in you. You need to start thinking like this. Start thinking like a lamb. And here he is within the lamb's mind. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. So if we're going to pick up the disposition of a lamb, we need to find out a little bit about what kind of lamb Jesus was. You can see in Isaiah 53:7, he was all kinds of lambs, if you will. He was silent. He was simple. He was shorn. He was submissive. He simple lambs. Incidentally, the reason why we're talking about lambs this morning is because Passover's coming. Somebody say amen. You need to get excited about Passover. It's about the time where we recognize God sent the lamb for us, and that lamb died for us, so that we apply the blood to our hearts. He's going to pass over us at judgment day. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, he's a simple lamb, though. Don't you love that picture? That's the cutest thing you've ever seen. Isn't he? Just makes you want to go, bad. Don't do it. Don't you do it. He's a simple lamb. He is a simple little bitty lamb. Cute as he can be. Simple lamb, though. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Without retaliation, that's what makes him a simple lamb. He's not simple because he thinks simple. He's not simple because he's simple-minded. He's simple because he's oppressed. And he was afflicted without retaliation. The simplest of God's creatures. There is no weapons on that lamb. There are no big fangs. There are no wings to fly away. There's no claws or talons. There's no mean roar. There's no big teeth. There's nothing. It's just a simple little bitty old harmless lamb. Simplest of God's creatures. It has no schemes, no plans for helping itself. There is no, I'm going to let you do this so I can do that, and when you're not looking, I'm going to be gone. There is no schemes in the lamb. I grew up watching Mighty Mouse. You ever watch Mighty Mouse? Y'all are telling your age now. Did you ever grow up watching Mighty Mouse? I did. I loved Mighty Mouse. Mighty Mouse would often save the lambs from the big bad wolf. And I thought it was hilarious because the wolf would lay siege to the lamb's house. And all of a sudden, these simple lambs that were so, so innocent, the moment the wolf started attacking, guns would come out the windows. Cannons would come out the chimneys. Y'all remember the cartoon? Machine guns would come out. And of course, it was no help against the big bad wolf. And Mighty Mouse would show up. And as Mighty Mouse showed up, he would blow all the evil wolves away and save the little bitty teeny tiny lambs. I want you to know that lambs, however, have absolutely positively no schemes. There's no defense. There's no plan of defense. It's just a lamb, and it's simply at the mercy of his shepherd. And we're supposed to have that kind of mind in us when we are letting our shepherd lead us, guide us, direct us, and take us down pathways of righteousness and goodness. Remember, read Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside still waters. He take me down pathways of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus was a simple lamb, so we need to be simple lambs ourselves. We don't have schemes. We don't have plans of revenge. We have no plans for helping ourselves. And when we start building plans to help ourselves, we're no longer simple lambs, but we're becoming complex lambs. And as we become complex lambs, we're out of God's view. The lamb exists in simpleness and helplessness. It has no weapons, no claws, no teeth. Its roar is never ferocious. It is a simple lamb. Could you imagine if you went out inside the field and saw that cute little bitty teeny tiny lamb we just saw, and as you stepped into its field, into its pen, it let out one heck of a roar. Roar! You'd be like, that's not a lamb. That's not a lamb. You ever had a dream, and there was a cute little lamb just bouncing? In fact, what do we count when we can't sleep? Lamb, sleep, yeah. That's what we do. Why? Because they are helpless. They are innocent. They're simple. Never once would you think about that lamb having big ferocious teeth and a big ferocious roar to scare you with. Just a simple lamb. You know, that's not the only kind of lamb Jesus was. When you read again in Isaiah 53, you're going to find out he was shorn. That's what a shorn lamb looks like. It was different. Look at him. He's like, dude, it's cold now. What happened to my health? Now you know why Samson lost all his strength. Right? Shorn lamb. To be shorn. He was willing to be led to the shearer. Shorn lamb. Now we need to be simple lambs. We need to have this mind in us. We need to be shorn lamb. We need to have this mind in us. And a shorn lamb, as the Bible tells us, as a sheep before the shearers, a shorn lamb is willing to be shorn. When a lamb is led to its shearers, he knows he's going to get his wool cut off. And let me tell you, Christian, how many of us are willing to let somebody cut let alone our attitudes, our self-righteousness, our you're wrong and I'm right attitude. How many of us are willing to be shorn of nothing? Let me tell you, they took the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He who is 100% God, they put Him on a cross. They shorn the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords of His rights, of His glory, of His privileges, and they put Him on a cross for the whole world to see in shame. They watched Him on a cross writhing in pain because He's willing to be shorn. When's the last time, Christian, we've been shorn? Shorn of our rights and shorn of our privileges. We're quick to defend our rights and we're quick to defend our privileges. We're quick to say that's not fair and I need and I need and I need and I need. But you know what? Lambs don't worry about what they need. They worry about what they give. They give their word. Jesus is willing to show. When's the last time you've been a simple lamb? The last time you've been a shorn lamb? How about this? Silent lamb. Silent lamb. My Bible tells us in Isaiah 53, as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he was. All of a sudden, the bleeding, you know, that ferocious barking and yelling and growling was gone. He was just a silent lamb. When's the last time you've been a silent lamb? Or when's the last time you stood up and said, we're not going to take this anymore? We're not going to be a part of it. No, we're going to stand up and fight. No, we're standing for our rights. Jesus was a silent lamb. If anybody had the right to protest, it was Jesus. If anyone had the right to say, let me explain, it was Jesus. If anyone had the right to say, let me tell you what's going to happen, it was Jesus. If anyone had the right to say, you're wrong and I'm right and this is how we're going to do it, it was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He chose to be silent. It's the last time you've been silent. The silent lamb, my Bible says, open not his mouth. He did not defend himself. He did not say, let me tell you why I did it. He didn't say, let me tell you why you're doing this. He didn't say, I'm here to take your sins and I'm going to this cross. Just look over here. No. He went to the cross and said, you can't see my love. He didn't explain himself. He did not excuse himself. He didn't say, I'm only letting them do this because this is for Scripture to be fulfilled. No, he stayed silent. He stayed silent. When's the last time we've been silent? When's the last time we've been simple? When's the last time we've been shorn? Some of us aren't willing to share where we sit inside the sanctuary or where we park in the parking lot. He was willing to be shorn. He came down to this earth, humbled himself, and became human flesh for us. And on top of that, not just human flesh, but in the form of a bond servant. Are you hearing me, church? Shorn lambs, that's when you get to see their scars. You know that? That's when you get to see their imperfections, the freckles that pop up, or something like that. It makes them unacceptable. You can't really tell until you cut the hair off. That ought to tell you something about a Passover lamb. Jesus was spotless lamb. Spotless lamb under the rules where you find the details in the sky. You see, how many of us are still holding underneath our wool grudges, resentment, hatred, racism? I can't love that person. They hurt me 73 years ago. Not one time did we ever hear Jesus say, I'm going to do this, but if I had my way, I'd do this. One time. Not only was he simple, with no schemes and no plans, no self-ambition, no thought to say, I'm going to give you enough rope to let you hang yourself. He was shorn. He said, you can take my rights, take my privileges. He was silent. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to hold grudges about it. I am going simply because he sent me. Not one time did we ever hear Jesus say, I'm going to do this. If I could do it my way, I'd do it. You know, if you're going to be the Christian that I was called you to be, if you're going to be the Christian we're all supposed to be, well, Paul says, let this mind be in you. But don't you ever stop thinking about this. The moment you stop thinking about it, you're already out of the light. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Never stop thinking about it, because he never stopped thinking about it, ever. Simple. Short. Silent. Smart. Simple. I'm not here for me. I'm here for him. Short. It's not about me and my rights. It's about him and his love. Silent. It's not about how great or how good I am. It's about how great and good God is. Live my life clean so that he can be magnified. Can I tell you something, Christian? I preach a lot of holiness, and that makes a lot of me angry. People confront me every week and say, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you said I shouldn't do that. I have freedom in Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Absolutely. I can't believe you said that was sinful, Pastor. I'm going to tell you something. You ever went to a restaurant? Sit down in the restaurant, and they serve that wonderful steaming plate in front of you. The one that you and your family and your husband and your wife worked so hard for, and we're in Texas, so we went to a Mexican restaurant. Somebody say amen. We went and got fajitas, baby. And as we were sitting at the table, we were getting fajitas. Y'all tell I'm ready for fajitas. Sitting there getting our fajitas, out came that flaming, sizzling plate. You know, you could hear it coming from the kitchen. You already know that's mine, that's mine, it's coming to me. Woo! Well, that's mine! It's coming! And you set it down in front of you, right on that plate, the long right here. You looked over at the glass you've been drinking out of, and on the other side, somebody's burnt orange lipstick. Curled in your fork with a cigarette butt. Telling you, that's why you need to be spotless. You're trying to serve the bread of life. You're trying to serve the water of life. You're like, you can drink it right out of this cup. You're the cup. Are you understanding? You are the cup. And you need to be simple. You need to be short. You need to be silent. You need to be spotless. You've got to offer the water of life. You've got to offer bread of life. Apostle Paul told us in Philippians 2, verse 5. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Remember that literal translation? Let this mind be in you that Jesus kept minding. He never stopped minding it. And because he never stopped minding it, you should never stop minding it. What was in his mind? He's the Lamb of God. And as a Lamb, he was simple. I'm here to do God's will. Nothing else. Nothing less. Nothing more. It's all about God. The moment you make it about you, we're wrong. Simple Lamb. He was shorn Lamb. In order to do God's will, you can take anything from me. My hair. Could you think about that? How important is your hair? How important is your hair? Thank you, Brother Joe. I'm going to be a silent lamb now. Because I know why some of us quit caring about our hair. Deep down inside, we got rid of it because of other reasons. Think about him. Think about ladies here. Paul says it's power for your hair. How powerful is that hair? How powerful is your hair? Remember Absalom, his hair? How powerful is your hair? He's willing to be shown of your rights, of your privileges, of your honor, of your stature, of your position, of your power, of the glory. You know, it's not yours. It all belongs to God anyway. I know I'm a lamb. I know I'm saved, Pastor. also why I say that. You always say, once saved, always saved. I think it's something neat. I find this to be comforting. This is just for me. See, when Noah got in the boat, took over the door. That means Noah couldn't get out. Sorry. Noah couldn't get out. So God warned him. I'm going to be silent. What do you think if a man's gone 100 sheep? My Bible says Matthew 18, look at me in verse 20. What do you think if a man has 100 sheep? If one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that's straying? And if he should find it, assuredly, I say to you, he rejoices more over the sheep than over the 99. Even so, it's not the will of your Father who's in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Maybe you've left the flock this morning. You say, will he take me back? Read again that parable. He will rejoice. He's looking for you. He wants you to come home right now. He's speaking to you right now. He's calling you home. Pastor said, Pastor, I am in his flock, and I just haven't been quite good like a sheep. How do I go back to that? Look at me at James 4, verse 10. The Bible says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Learn to be a simple lamb. Learn to be a shorn lamb. Learn to be a silent lamb. And learn to be spotless. You will find yourself humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. The Bible tells us in James 4, verse 10, he will lift you up. He will. Not you. Not me. Not the church. He will lift you up. Pastor, say, Pastor, that's what I need this morning. You can be willing to come. Have said, Pastor, I need to have a relationship with God. I need to do what you said earlier. I need to make Him my Lord and my Savior. Well, come on. That's what this service is for. The pastor said, Pastor, I've been looking for a Christian church. I've been looking for a place that preaches the Bible. I need a place to become a part of fellowship with. If you're willing to come this morning, whatever the case may be, we're going to close in that word of prayer. If He spoke to you, would you humble yourself this morning? Let's pray today. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name. Know how we thank you for your word. Your word is quick, and it is powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray right now it will cut into our hearts and cut into our lives. If there be anyone who needs to come to know you as personal Lord and Savior, or anyone, Father God, who needs to get their relationship with you right, or any, Lord God, that has gone astray, would you let them know right now you've left the 99 and you're looking for the one, and you're going to rejoice when they come home. I pray, Father God, that today would be a day of rejoicing. And I also pray, Lord, if there be any that need to be a part of our family, that day, get today, and give you the praise, the honor, and glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Would you come as we sing? Beneath the cross of Jesus, would you come this morning? Would you come? First, just for you, come this morning. Would you be a simple lamb this morning? Would you be a shorn lamb? Would you be a silent lamb? Would you be a spotless lamb? Would you come this morning? Oh, Don't forget, tonight we'll be worshiping again here in the sanctuary at 6 p.m. Also, don't forget the Tata practice at 4:30 here in the sanctuary. And don't forget the ministry team meeting today at 4. There's also a plethora of other activities to get involved with here at RABC. Check out our RABCCove.org website or get involved with any of the ministries that are part of it. They'd be happy to tell you what's going on at RABC. Come with us to find out what God is doing here. Get involved with it. Let's close in that word of prayer, and I hope to see you guys this afternoon. I'm going to ask